Well, good morning. Welcome back to our sermon. And I don't know if this will be as streamlined as the announcements, but I would like to talk to you about something that can be used for good or can be used for evil, and that is your mouth. And so today, when we speak of the wisdom found in Proverbs chapter 10, we're focusing on what we can see in our speech and the words we use and the way we communicate and the messages we send to people. We can either do a lot of good with that, or we can do a lot of harm. And wisdom teaches us to do good with our words, to do good with our mouth. So let's take a moment and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom and instruction that's there. I know that we are not born with this wisdom. We are not born knowing the things that we need to know. And we are not born as godly people, but we are born as sinners. And you make us into godly people. And I pray today that you will do that through what your word says and how, Lord, it hits our ears and our minds and our hearts and our lives. And may we respond to you. Thank you so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to begin actually in James chapter 3, verse 2. Starting there, it says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." And that passage is a great passage, and James is very much a New Testament wisdom letter that teaches us how to have wisdom, how to apply God's word to our lives. But it warns us how the tongue, even though it's small and it seems like it's rather harmless, actually it can cause great destruction in our lives and lead us in a terrible direction and do so much harm. And so that's what we're talking about today in the book of Proverbs, that with wisdom comes good and appropriate use of our tongues, our mouths, and our words. So this was one of the things that I took from Proverbs chapter 10 as one of the main areas. If I broke this proverb into areas, this one was about our mouths and how we use our words. And so the passages that we'll cover today are Proverbs 10, 10 and 11, 13 through 14, 18 through 21, and verse 31. So we'll start with Proverbs 10, 10. And this is one that we actually looked at last week, and we really covered, especially the first part of this, but I would say this is related to speech too, as you look at it. So this proverb says, "Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin." And so when we think about wisdom and what this proverb is telling us, is that to wink the eye is dishonesty. So a person who is dishonest and the babbling fool just goes on in their dishonesty, that leads to something that actually leads to ruin. So this verse would really encourage us to watch ourselves, check ourselves that we're being honest, that we're saying what we mean and meaning what we say, and we're living up to what we say, and we're not distorting things to benefit ourselves, thinking that somehow we're going to improve the situation for ourselves, when really this kind of thing leads to ruin and it leads to our harm. And so that's one of the ways that we can misuse our mouths, misuse our words, is to be dishonest. So, and we can do a lot of harm in that. And I think one of the things that we see is that if we choose dishonesty, then ultimately it comes back on us and we will experience the ruin of that. So verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." And I want you to know right up front, this is going to be one of the ones that I speak about the most here today as I look at it. I have the most to say about this, and I don't know if that surprises you or not. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but you'll understand why I have so much to say about this. I think because the Bible says so much about the fountain of life or water or living water or those things. I want you to think about some of these Bible verses that we see. King David wrote in Psalm 36:9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." And as he's talking about God there, he says again, "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light." And so there he's talking about God's, the life that God gives and the light that he gives. And when you come into the light, you can see the light and you know the light and you understand. And when you go to God, you get life. And so David talked about it. There are several other proverbs that talk about it. Proverbs 13:14, it says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." And so one of the things we know is that the teaching of God's word, that's a teaching of the wise, right? Amen. The people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and inspired of God to write. So all the teachings of the Bible and all the teachings of the wise and the things that wise people that know God and understand God and believe in God and are wholeheartedly devoted to Him, the things that they want to teach you, they are a fountain of life. So the fountain we think of, we can picture like the water springing up and flowing and just continually flowing, and the water being a source of sustenance and refreshment and life. I mean, this is a good picture because you know that we need water to live. And so spiritually speaking, the things that a righteous person teaches, which come from the Word of God, which come from God, spiritually speaking, they are a fountain of life to us. But it says the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So they're not experiencing this fountain of life. Instead, there's something very different with their mouths. They conceal violence, it says. Now, one of the things that I've learned since I spoke on this, this is also mentioned in verse 6, this word conceal, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it could really be translated either conceal or cover. So a lot of Bibles will translate it cover. So it'd be the idea that it covers the face. And the reason why those two words are so much the same is when you think of it as a covering, then it's concealing. But if you think of it as a cover, meaning that it's worn all over the face. And so here, maybe, perhaps a better translation of this is where it says the mouth of the wicked is covered with violence, or the face of the wicked is covered with violence. And so one of the things we know that there's no debate is that it's violence. So on one sense, you have the mouth of the righteous person bringing life, the fountain of life, bringing things that are good for you, spiritually good for you, that help you to become closer to God. And then you have the wicked bringing violence to you. And so here, we need to watch how we use our mouths, because that's what's being talked about here. Would you like to be a righteous person, a wise person? Then what you need to strain for is that in the way that you use your words, that you are bringing life to people, that you are bringing God's word, that you are bringing the gospel to people, that you are bringing hope in Christ, that you are shining the light through the words that you say, rather than bringing violence to people by saying things that are cruel and mean and out to harm people. So we want to bring life with our words. And so that is wisdom there. Now, just want to go on and just read some more of those verses, which I began to read. But it says in Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." So here, it's, first it was the teachings of the wise, then it's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 16:22, it says, "Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly." So it's called those three things there, or identified with those three things: the teaching of the wise, the fear of the Lord, and good sense. Now, God is himself the fountain of living waters. Consider Jeremiah 2:13 and 17:13, both say that. 17:13 says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water." And so there he is, the fountain, in this case called the fountain of the living water. Now in the New Testament, we have this also. In the New Testament, 1 John 4:10, Jesus, not 1 John, but just John, John 4:10, Jesus talks about being the living water. And this is when he met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And he said, he asked for a drink. She talks to him. And finally, in, along the way there, he says, "You know, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living waters." And then later, a couple verses over, starting in 13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," being the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And so the living water here that's talked about, the well that springs within, comes when you receive Christ and you believe in him. In verse 7, 38 through 39, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive." And then here now we have the Holy Spirit being called the well of living waters that we see there. So the fountain of life is the Holy Spirit. Now, so that's why I said I had a lot to say about this, because we see this is a powerful image that's in the Bible. And so again, with our mouths, we can convey that image. We can share that fountain. We can offer that water. You know, I think about it's coming from that story in John, but thinking about that idea of, you know, all who are thirsty, come to the well and drink. And the well is the Lord. The well is the Holy Spirit. And I think we could say that the well is the Father. The well is Jesus. The well is the Holy Spirit there. Now, let's continue in the next verse. So 10:13, we'll move ahead here. It says, "On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense." So again, we're using lips instead of just the mouth. "But on the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found." So on a person's lips or on their mouth, the things that they say, what you hear coming out of their mouth, can either be wisdom or folly here. And here you have these are not exactly contrasted in that way, but they are. You can see it. So if the person is a person of understanding, they understand the things of the Lord. They understand the times. They understand the circumstances. They're not taken captive by deception. Okay, in that person, then they have wisdom. Okay, wisdom is found on their lips. But in contrast, the foolish person, a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. So again, the understanding speaks wisdom. The fool lacks sense, and he needs discipline or punishment. And so that's what the rod is there. The rod would be the way that Proverbs talks about administering discipline. Oftentimes we can think about that in terms of a spanking or something like that there. Now, when I look at this and I think about it, first of all, I think that we need to know that what comes as a result of foolishness or lacking sense is that we make decisions that have consequences that put us in situations that require us to be disciplined. And if we are God's children, that this is a difficult thing, but it's a good thing because he disciplines us because he loves us and he does it to bring us back to him. And but without God there, then it's just punishment and it's just pain that we bring upon ourselves. And so if we have done things that have been wisdom, have lacked wisdom, that have been foolish, and we're living in the consequences of that, we need to make sure that we have the right heart towards God and the right attitude about things and be repentant of our sins and turn back and use it as an opportunity to grow. But also to ask that he would be teaching us to be people of understanding that can share wisdom with others. And just one more thing that I thought about this. I often listen to the Breakpoint commentary. It's Chuck Colson's former ministry, and he's since gone to be with the Lord. And so I think this was one of his quotes that they mention a lot, but it says, "Ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims." And this verse made me think about that, as with some others in Proverbs that talk about the rod. And I think about that in terms of discipline and correction. So again, spanking. So somewhere along the way, somebody got the idea that spanking was bad, that disciplining your children in that way was bad. And right now we have a whole world full of people that have grown up that haven't had discipline in their lives. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not the right thing to do in every circumstance, and it can be done wrong. But done correctly, the rod is the right thing for disciplining people. In the case for a child, there is a really good, clear place to give a child a spanking and to discipline them in that way. And then for people in general, to have discipline in our lives, to have correction. And we've taken that out of our society, and right now we are reaping the consequences of that. And the fact is, I know growing up as a young man in my life, I needed discipline in my life, and I needed to have parents that gave me discipline. I needed to have a school system that brought discipline. I needed to have sports that brought discipline to help me grow as a man. And so again, the idea being that discipline and spankings and those kind of things are bad, take them out of society. Now we have the victims of that, because bad ideas have victims. All right, it says, "The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near." So if you are encountering somebody who has wisdom and is speaking wisdom, then they've acquired knowledge for themselves and they are sharing it with others. And so that's something that you could learn to do in your life. You could dedicate yourself to wisdom, to following God, to seeing things the way God wants you to see them. And you build knowledge in that, you lay it up, but then you can share it with others and you give that to others. And so I don't know if you can think of some people in your life, maybe this would be a good thing to just pause and think about at some point, is who do you know that is a person that has shared a lot of knowledge with you about God and a lot of wisdom with you? And could you possibly be someone that does that with somebody else, that points somebody else to Jesus, that shares God's wisdom and knowledge with them? And I think this verse encourages us to do that. But the other side of it is, the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. So rather than giving wisdom and knowledge and helping people to be safe, the fool just spouts on about things that actually lead to ruin. So it could lead to ruin for himself or for someone else. In any event, it says it brings it near. And so the fact is, we can do a lot of good with our words, or we could do a lot of harm. We could give people a lot of knowledge and good understanding of God, or we could teach people and direct people with our mouths to live their lives in such a way that brings ruin. Now, anyone who teaches against believing in the Lord and teaches against the faith is doing this right here. They are bringing ruin near and bringing judgment and trying to share that with others. So let's be a people that lay up knowledge and share it with others. So verse 18 says, and this is beginning a new couple of section of verses here. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. And what this proverb here is really talking about is honesty. You know, what we do with our lips, how we choose to use our words. So here, what's talked about is lying lips. So we want to make sure that we're not found to be people that stretch the truth or distort the truth, that try to benefit ourselves by being dishonest or deceptive. And another thing that we want to do is that we don't slander other people. This is a really foolish thing to do. And this is the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. Here we're on foolishness. So a foolish person conceals hatred. So again, is it they're covered with hatred? Do they hide the hatred that they really have? We know that there's hatred there, and there's a lying lips, and there's slander. And so oftentimes those things go together. When somebody hates somebody, they lie about them, and they slander them. But that is a foolish thing to do. If somebody wrongs you, it's so much better to forgive them, and like the Bible says, to pray for those who persecute you and to treat them well, to return good for evil. So verse 19 then continues, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Now this is one that I have circled in my Bible, and I remember sometimes, Heath, you just got to talk less. You've got to not always share your opinion or what you think. You don't need to boast. You don't need to do these things. In fact, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, like it says. But here it says, if you do a lot of talking, if you're a person that talks a lot, and I think this is almost always the case, if we talk a lot, we're going to stumble in what we say. Because the more we talk, the more opportunity that we give ourselves to trip up. So when words are many, transgression or sin is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Now that doesn't mean that there's not a time to speak, because when we think of restraining our lips, it's that we are disciplined and that we speak at the right time when we're supposed to speak, and we hold when we're not supposed to speak. I think that this has been very helpful for me. There have been times, you know, when I just want to say something because maybe it's funny or I've seen something, but then I realize, hey, wait, that's actually probably not something I need to share with somebody, or that's not something that builds someone else up. And so I think about this verse, and it helps me not to share something about something that I don't need to be sharing, like another person, things that I've seen. Things that, you know, in our flesh we could think are funny, but really would be embarrassing to the other person. So that's something that we should do. And if we will restrain our lips, that keeps us out of trouble. So when we're prudent, we're thinking ahead, you know, how could this affect the person that we're talking about, or how could it affect somebody else? You see how that's very different than what we saw back in 18. It's you hate the person, you lie about the person, you slander the person. Here, in this case, you're knowing that, you know, I have to watch myself. I have to check myself. I might have feelings about this other person or what they've done to me, but I need to really watch myself that I don't say things that I shouldn't say and then let myself sin and then not see, you know, what can happen as a result of that. So we need to have prudence in that way. And so that was another word that we had from last week. Now, it goes on and says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. And here, you don't have the tongue of the righteous being compared to the tongue of the wicked, but you have the tongue of the righteous being compared to the heart of the wicked. And these two things, we have to understand, are completely linked. You know, what we say, what comes from our mouth, comes from our heart. And in fact, we're going to look at a passage that says that, where Jesus said that, and Jesus taught that in just a moment. But we need to really remember that. So the tongue of the righteous is of choice silver. So it's just saying that it's very valuable. It's very precious. But the heart, not just the tongue, but the heart, and that's the source of everything, the heart of the wicked is of little worth, or that could be translated worthless. So on one case, you have righteousness and what righteousness teaches us to speak like, and that is very valuable. And then you have wickedness and what wickedness to have us speak like. That is of no worth in your life or anybody else's life. In fact, it's of negative worth. Verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So you have the things that a righteous person says can feed many. I think about that in terms of spiritually. You're giving the bread of life. You're sharing sustenance from the Lord with other people. Now, yeah, we need to learn to be self-feeders and to feed ourselves and to feed on Scripture and do that. But we're so blessed that we're not in this Christian life alone, but we have people that we know that can encourage us and strengthen us and help us to eat and feast on God's Word. And I don't really just mean speakers or pastors or teachers in that way. I just mean the people in our lives that on their mouths are things that point to the Lord and give nourishment. But it says here, fools, they die for lack of sense. So it's like they're starving. All the good food is right there to be fed by. The bread is there. The water's there. The well is there. But a fool won't have it. A fool will die with all that in plain sight. They'll die because they have the lack of sense to trust God and believe God and to feast on the feast that he has put out before us and to drink from the living water. Now, the last verse for today is verse 31. It says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. And again, you have two different uses of your mouth contrasted here. One is to bring forth wisdom, to help people to see things the way that God would have them see them and to apply them to their lives and to honor God. And the other is perversion. And so we need to watch ourselves that in the name of humor and those kind of things, that we do not have perverse tongues. God says the perverse tongue will be cut off. And that's, again, appropriate if we misuse our tongues. And so that is a warning not to misuse our tongue or not to be a wicked person that fills your mouth with perversion. Now, if you go back and you look at these, and we kind of put them side by side, and these aren't exactly, but I got them to line up pretty well. So when we compare the mouth of the righteous and the mouth of the wicked, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence and hate. The mouth of the righteous brings wisdom. The mouth of the wicked lacks sense. The mouth of the wicked is restrained, and he shows restraint. He or she shows restraint. The mouth of the wicked brings ruin and destruction. The mouth of the righteous is prudent. The mouth of the wicked lies and utters slander. The mouth of the righteous feeds many. The mouth of the wicked has many words, but has sin also. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. The mouth of the wicked spouts perversion and perverse things. The mouth of the righteous is valuable like choice silver, and the mouth of the wicked is of little worth or worthless. So you tell me, what kind of mouth do you want to have? And I want to tell you, though, that you and me, we can't just on our own have that kind of mouth. We don't have a righteous mouth. We're not born with that. We don't know how to do that. We need God to change us because quite naturally, we know how to lie. We know how to slander people. We know how to be perverse and to laugh at perverse jokes and to spread perverse jokes. We know how to hate people. We know how to do all these things. And we're born with a total lack of sense. But it is God in our lives that is that fountain of life that builds this stuff up in us. And this is who we need to be seeking. And this is what you and I should want for our lives. So I hope today that you will just pray and ask God to help you to repent. If there's any way that you've been using your mouth in a way that's wicked or foolish, and ask him to give you wisdom about what to say, when to say it, how to use your mouth to strengthen others and to build others up and to worship God. Because remember, it's with that same tongue and that same mouth that you could be praising God and slandering men. And so let's be sure not to do that. We want to have a consistency. So you want to have the same kind of speech every day, same kind of speech that you would have at church in front of everyone else, that you want to have that same kind of speech in your private life at home and be that same person, have that same mouth 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day. Now, I know a number of you said, you know, hey, I came from a background, you wouldn't believe the profanity and things I used and how I talked. Isn't God good, though, that God changes us and he grows us and he shapes us and he begins to give us a better and better use of our mouths. And so just praise God for that. And I just want to end in Matthew and just share what Jesus had to say. And this comes from when the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus because his disciples didn't follow the tradition of the elders and wash their hands. And Jesus explained to them that, you know, there's a difference between your traditions and what the Word of God actually says. But he even went beyond that. He says that it's really not what a person eats that makes him unclean. And so Jesus explains this here. He says, and he called the people to him, and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. So our diet, the things we eat, that's not what makes us unclean to God. He says it's what comes out of us. It's the words that come out of us, the things we say, the things we let come out of our mouths. You see, this is why it's so important, because what we say in our mouths is really what's in our hearts, and there's no hiding. And sometimes we can't hide it. We've hidden it well for a long time, and then it comes out, it flies out, and people are able to see, you know, what's really in our hearts. And so what God is ultimately concerned with is not so much that he's just concerned with what comes out of our mouth or the sound that comes out of our mouth, but it's really what is going on in our hearts. He says, let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But, and he's talking about the Pharisees there. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? So he actually already explained it, but now he's going to explain it again. He says, do you not see, and he has to get a little more graphic now. He says, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? So what a person eats, their body processes it, and then it's expelled. It goes out the other end. Can you believe I'm talking about that here in church? Well, it's in the Bible. That's why I have to mention it. That's what he's talking about, the normal biology of eating and processing it and getting rid of our waste. He says, that passes through a person. But what comes out of the mouth doesn't come from the stomach, he says. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thought, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. And so I just want to encourage you to take this very seriously and really watch your mouths and really think about it and ask God to really show you if you are using your mouth and your speech. And I think it even goes beyond this now when we think about keyboards, the things you type, you know, iPads, phones, the things that you say, the things that you communicate. It's very difficult to get them back. And so we want to make sure that we are very thoughtful about the things that we do and the things that we say. So ask God to show you and to teach you if there's some way that you're using your speech that is dishonoring to him and is foolish. I would encourage you to do that. I'm going to do the same thing. I've been living with this all week, thinking about it. And I just, I want this for my life. I hope that you do too. And then I hope as a church that we are the kind of people that have wisdom on our mouths and that we build each other up and are out there feeding others and sharing the good news with others. All right, let's pray, and we'll call it a day. Lord, thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the book of James. Lord, the book of Matthew. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that we have the opportunity to speak and share and to build others up by the words that we speak. And convict us of ways where we are speaking wickedly and evil, and change us and change our hearts. We pray for that. We also pray that in wisdom we would be receptive of those who are speaking the truth to us and building us up. We thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much. Look forward to seeing you.